Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag share, tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air, and we're about to discuss the topic, what do we need in a candidate? Voting is our civic responsibility, but how do we choose the right candidate? Many believe you choose the lesser of two evils, as no one candidate will ever be 100% of what you would like them to be. Tonight, we hope to take the guesswork out of choosing the right candidate by explaining the do's and don'ts of choosing candidates this election season. To join in on the discussion tonight, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Again, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. But to kick things off, I have a great panel, and I can't wait to get started. Too often, we vote candidates into office and don't see them anymore until it's time to vote again. But hopefully after this show, we won't be choosing the wrong candidates next month. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce my panel for tonight, made up of three individuals who have actually been candidates themselves and a very intelligent pastor. Before I open their phone lines, let me tell you who they are. First, we have Pastor Alfie Chris. Pastor Chris is the pastor of the Althea Temple Church here in Fort Worth. We have Adrian Smith. He's a former candidate for District 3 City Council seat. We have Bob Willoughby. former candidate for District 5 City Council seat. And also we have Wayman Brown, former candidate also for District 5 City Council seat. Let me open their phone line and let's get started. Good evening, Pastor Chris. Good evening, Adrian Smith. Good evening, Bob Willoughby. And good evening, Wayman Brown.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good hello, evening. Hello.
Hello. Listen, y'all, we got a lot going on in terms of these elections. And one thing I've noticed is a lot of the times we're putting people in, and once they get in office, they thumb their nose at us. And we've seen that recently with our last election last year. And so I've put a lot of thought into tonight's show about how we can avoid letting that happen this time. And so I did a lot of research about picking the right candidate. And we're going to talk tonight about a lot of the things we should look into. And so as we go through them, I'd like for you all to chime in on the topics that we're talking about. One being, just because the person is the incumbent, is that a reason just to vote for them just because they're the person that's already in office? Pastor Chris, we'll start with you.
I think that you should look at what they've done in the term that they served and go by that. And also, who is funding them? That's very important.
Oh, who's funding them? Okay. Adrian Smith, your thoughts.
Well, as far as the incumbent is concerned, like the pastor said,
like the pastor stated, you know, the work they're doing, because, you know, too often a lot of people, they talk a good talk, but when they begin to work in a position, they no longer follow through with the talk that they, you know, that they put before the voters, you know, position. And then I think as voters as well, we have a responsibility to ensure that they are doing what they say that they were going to do, you know, because we the people had the power, you know, with our vote, we get them in, and then it's up to us to make sure, hold our feet to the fire, as the saying go, hold our feet to the fire. So yeah, the incumbents shouldn't, you know, just ride it out just because they didn't come. They have to continue to put their foot forward to show why they deserve to be in that position.
Okay. Bob Willoughby, you've run for office several times against a person who's been the incumbent for several terms. Is that a reason that somebody should automatically stay in office because they're the incumbent?
Well, you know, I kind of like to see the incumbent stay in office when they do a good job, because they've already got experience and they're learning and they're building, and I'd like for term limits, too, in that, too. So I like to see them stay in when they're doing a good job, but that's no reason to stay in just because they're incompetent. I mean, they're more incompetent than incompetent. So, but, no, that, you know, like I said, it is good, though, and you have one that's doing it, but and if I can just get one of them to answer me, I'd be happy. So, you know, I'm not very hard to please. The bar's been set so low with any councilman, anybody running, that will just return a phone call and make me thrilled half to death. So, we need a change, and we need to get people involved. We need good people to run for these spots.
I agree. Wayman Brown, you yourself have been a candidate. Is the fact that the person is the incumbent, is that a reason enough for the voters to continue to vote them in?
Not at all. I believe that they should be held accountable to basically the things, not only the work that they have done, but the work that they said they want to do. Look at their platform and mm-hmm. see how much their actions deviate or stick to the platform of which they ran on. We have a lot of people that will run on a certain platform, and they will basically, quote unquote, pick up the flavor of the month, depending on what the hot button is at that time. But then when it's time to get in office, get in action, and actually call upon the people, we no longer see the incumbent doing that, kind of naive in thinking that, okay, well, if you get an incumbent in, how much would they are willing to work with the people that put them in office? You know, it's kind of like Pastor Chris said, who's funding these people? Because Dr. Claude Anderson said it himself, if you really want to have somebody to do the things that you want to do, you have to go in as a block. And after you go in as a block, you let them know, look, we got this much money behind you. We got this many people behind you. Let's do the things that you said you're going to do. And if you don't, we're actually going to buy and vote you out.
Good. Good. You know, and Pastor Chris, you are a pastor. And I don't know how much I don't know if I agree or not, let me say it that way, with a pastor influencing his congregants about who to vote for. Do you think it's right for the pastor to suggest to the congregants who they should vote for?
No. Actually, I think the way to get around that is you have the candidates come to your church and let them speak for themselves and let people make up their own minds. You know, because, you know, pastors, all you had to do is say, hey, vote for such and such. And because of your members, you know, they all go out and vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just think it's better if you do, in other words, lead that to the person to make their decision. But just set up a format that they can come to the church and hear the certain candidates and make their own decision. But I always stress. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I always stress that regardless of who you vote for, you need to vote. That's my thing.
But should there be a separation between church and state?
You know, I think Bush kind of softened those rules about, the separation. You can endorse a candidate, but, I mean, I don't do it, but. You know, I just try to tell people you need to investigate the candidates and vote. And, you know, I've set up things at the church where people can come in and talk to different candidates.
Mm-hmm. Forums.
But I don't really, huh?
Forums, different forums.
Yes.
Platforms. Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
All right. Does anybody else agree that or disagree with the church being a place where the pastor influences the congregants to vote for a particular candidate?
I've always been one, and it's nothing with the pastor Chris on his stances. You know, I respect his perspective. But my perspective has always been, I feel like. Like you said, the pastor, you say, okay, you can bring a candidate in, and it's still, even if the pastor is not stating this is who you vote for, the atmosphere is already set in place for people to vote that way because they, for one, that's their church, you know, and then they trust in that, okay, this person is coming in, so they're going to base their, you know, their thought process off of what the pastor is allowing to the church. So they'd be like, okay, well, the pastor already sort of quote-unquote co-signing for this person, even if this person has to get his spiel, it's kind of like, well, my pastor kind of let him in, so he must be a good person. So I've always been one to say, keep it neutral, keep the ground neutral. I don't feel like as a candidate, I should be politicking, politicking in the church. If I want to get these church members out, I set up something on neutral grounds to where they can come to it. You know what I'm saying? Or get out into the community. You know what I'm saying? That's just me personally. I can't speak for everybody. And then as far as separation of church and state, I think we should have a religious representation to where you're holding these political people accountable. I think more or less it's the separation is fear of the. Because, you know, churches operate tax-free, so they got more of a financial footing to where they could, if they want to throw money behind a candidate, they can do it, and, you know, it could kind of give somebody a leverage to run their campaign a little more successful. But I'll let somebody else speak on it.
Okay, Wayman Brown, was that you?
Yes. Let's look at the last election. Classic example of what we're talking about. He broadcast live. He said, hey, guys, My 501c3 has been threatened. He didn't say any names. He said, but his 501c3 had been threatened because he himself, not his church, but he himself had endorsed a certain candidate. And I get the opportunities of different church members getting to hear each candidate each Sunday, or they come two persons that Sunday or whatever, they get them that amount of time to speak to them. But a lot of times when you get these candidates to go into these churches, a lot of those people don't even live in that community. They go to their church.
Mm.
So does it help? Sometimes it does. Does it hurt? A lot of times, no, but I can say this, regardless what church it is, Episcopalian, Church of God in Christ, CME, you name it, a pastor will get up, and I've witnessed this, and say certain things about certain candidates, and then he'll come back and say, well, I won't tell you who to vote for, but I'm just going to tell you this has been my experience with this particular person, and then they'll put their endorsement behind whoever they feel that they want. And like the brother just said, based on what he said, even though it might have been quote-unquote jokingly, he still has basically given the green light for this is who y'all need to vote for.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And, you know, and the thing is, when the pastor says y'all can vote for who y'all want to, but I'm voting for XYZ, mm-hmm. he's already pretty much swaying the vote right there, you know, with whoever he's choosing, because he said it that way. And so in my mm-hmm. opinion, I just think it should be separate simply because the pastor has a lot of influence in the black church anyway. I know about the white church, but in the black church, mm-hmm. the pastor has a lot of influence with the way, you know, he gets people to in his church to do what he wants them to do. I'm just going to leave that right mm-hmm. here, and especially here in Fort Worth. So I'm going to leave that alone. Y'all, another thing we see a lot is people are voting along racial lines. And in the past, you know, I myself thought that was the way to do things because that's the way my parents had done it and my grandparents had done it. But voting along racial lines, is that working for us, and should we continue that? Anybody can jump in.
Well, I'll tell you one thing they're doing right now is they're redistricting accordingly to racial races, and I don't think that's right. It should be by numbers, and I kind of like to get away from it don't matter what color, all that don't matter. I'm just looking for some honest people. That's all I'm looking for. I don't care if you're green. If you're honest, that'd be beautiful. Just it's what I'm finding out there, and that was the same thing with, but anyway, I would think that I done lost track there. What was that question? I'm sorry. What was your question?
we're talking about voting along racial lines because, you know, a lot of
voting
times
on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, people got to. I'll tell you what. You know what? There's two or three criteria that we could really just put out there until we find candidates that pass these. We really don't got to think about anything else. And the first thing is, if they don't answer questions, isn't that enough to send a flag up saying, we can't, that's all I need. They don't answer questions. I don't need to know anymore, you know. But they're getting by. They're still getting elected. And when they don't do meetings or they won't come out and do public interviews, you know, but they're still getting elected. So the candidates are able to get elected without answering questions, without doing public meetings or, you know. And that, if we just eliminate that or start trying to get people to understand, that's a simple – the third one is – the money thing, like the other person was saying earlier there, their campaign funds, when they're taking money from like the police association, the fire, and after a meeting with the president of the fire association, I like them even less. I mean, they're like little gangsters or, you know, buying candidates. They go out and they ask for money. If people knew what they're giving them money for, they wouldn't get the donations. And then they turn around and they pour it into candidates. And these, so I'm kind of pushing the police to go after the police association. Same thing with firefighters, to go after the firefighter because they're giving them a bad name. If the associations were putting money into help the police falling officers or equipment or or for the local voter education program, or Let's Talk Fort Worth or something, that's positive for the whole city, then that's great. But the organization's being used wrong. They're getting money and buying candidates. And I've got two signs about to go out here this week saying anybody but Manning, because he was the president of the police association. He's running for commissioner. And so when he sees, you know, when we ran, Raymond, he put on the, I think it was when we ran, it was on the leaflets that said not recommended. That's what he said for me. And I think he said that for you, not recommended. And they said Thomas had a chance, but Thomas was kind of an insider. So, I mean, he could be bought. So he had a chance. But nevertheless, they had no business, you know, and then sending that out to people saying that when they didn't interview anybody. So, yeah, where the money comes from, there's a couple of things. If we could just get everybody to work together on just a couple of things. One is get term limits in, make these candidates, and campaign contribution limits like in Florida. Cut that way down. Don't let them buy $2 million to put a mayor in office. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Put a campaign. I mean, I wouldn't mind keeping the districts down to $10,000 and make the candidate get out and work for the vote. We want the best person in office at the end of the day. And the person that works the hardest, you know, we still may get screwed, but that's the best choice I can see right now. You know, that's
when we look at the question, the original question was, do we vote because of racial lines, racial barriers? Mm-hmm. And if anybody that's ever studied politics, you know that a lot of times that don't make a difference. Because, again, like you just said, the money changes you. Mm-hmm. The money changes you. Who you take that money from is who you're going to be holding to. Because you could take the whole southeast side of Fort Worth and put all of that money behind one candidate. But when that one candidate gets in, how effective are they going to be toward the people that put them in office? Because we all have, on all four sides of town, we have an upper echelon side, we got a middle class side, and then we got, you know, people that are still living in poverty. And it seems that those that who are in that most upper echelon, they are the ones that getting their roads fixed. They're the ones that are getting better maintenance done in their communities. They're the ones that are getting businesses put in their communities. But then when you look at it as a whole, you know, and you're looking at the candidates that you put in that look like you or look like me and saying, hey, you know, we got a thing going now.
You missed that one there. They're the ones also getting the police there in 10 minutes.
Well, this is true.
I'm sorry. I had to add that.
No, you're good. But when we look at this $402 million that's about to go into this project of person I won't name, but I want to know how much is that $402 million going to affect where I live?
Yeah.
And how much of a fight is the incumbent or the person that's going to be in that seat where I reside, how much of that are you fighting for us to get to bring us up to a level to where we can have a financial infrastructure in our community?
But, you know, I'm going to say this. We put people in office that look like us, and then they get in office and take funding from the police, and then when we have an issue with the police, we can't get them to stand up to the police because either they're fearful or they are taking funding from the police. So it's like voting for people just because they look like us hasn't always worked for us.
Well, what did Bob just say? Because when they are supporting the police, what did he say? When we were running, what did the police say? Him? No, not recommended. We don't want to deal that with him because why? He speaks against the things that we're doing that the community is outraged about. So if we let you guys put your money behind him, that means we're going to have to start changing our policy.
Wow. Y'all, we're going to the phone lines. We're going to pick up 214-498. I understand that's Mark Clayton, and she's running in this upcoming election. Good evening, Ms. Clayton.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, we're talking tonight about what we need in a candidate. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the race that you're running and what your platform is?
Absolutely.
So I'm running for Tarrant County Criminal Court Number 7. That is a misdemeanor court. It's not specifically designated like some of the other ones are. So I would handle any type of misdemeanor that could occur in the county. I'm running, number one, to bring diversity to Tarrant County. We have a total of 58 courts on the county and the district level, which are countywide seats, meaning those courts have jurisdiction over the entire county. 43 of those seats are elected. The other ones are appointed. But on none of those seats sits an African-American woman or a minority woman, and neither does a Democrat sit on any of those seats, which is definitely not an accurate reflection of what Tarrant County's makeup is. The population of Tarrant County is extremely diverse. It's just not reflected in our countywide leadership. So that's one of the reasons I'm running. Currently, I'm a criminal defense attorney. I practice right here in Tarrant County and primarily only do criminal defense. And so I'm in and out of the courts every single day. One thing that I believe the courts could be restored on is some compassion, and that's just treating people with dignity and respect. It's not everybody get out of jail free card. It's just simply treating folks with respect, no matter the reason that they're standing in that courtroom. And there are a number of courtrooms that lack that right here in Tarrant County, and I think it's unacceptable, especially when coming from the head of the court. And then also just ensuring that everyone that comes to the court has access or is aware, knowledgeable of the resources and opportunities that are available to them through the court. And then providing additional resources and opportunities. My goal is more so to help the person be a better person in hopes of lowering the recidivism rate. So if there's anything I can do to help that person make a step up in life, that'll lessen their chance of committing crime or doing whatever brought them to court, that's what I would want to do. And then also we have a – oh, I'm sorry.
Can I ask you a question? Who's your – is there an incumbent that's already in office in this particular seat?
So, no. Yeah, Judge Hardy is currently on the bench. She is retiring at the end of this year.
Okay. So who's your opponent?
I don't have a Democratic opponent. I do have a Republican opponent. His name is Eric Starnes.
Okay, wow. And so you feel like you're a better candidate than this person is. And so tonight we're talking about how do we choose the right candidate this election season. We don't want to get duped again. We want to pick someone who we feel is going to represent us best when they get in office. Are you saying that you will do that if elected?
Absolutely. And we were just talking about this yesterday, actually. You can take a look back on any of my social medias or anything I've ever done. I've always served the community. That's something I've just always done before being an attorney, before even thinking that I would want to be a judge. This is nothing I've ever dreamed or said that I was going to do from the outset. But my heart is in service and serving and helping other people. And so whatever I can do to help another person, that's what I'm going to do. And that's really the reason why I'm running. Like I said, I've never dreamed of being an attorney. That wasn't what I wanted to do as a kid. I definitely never thought I would get into politics and running for judge, but I see a need, and our people need to be served even in the judiciary. The better we can build up people and build up our community, I truly believe that will lower a lot of the problems that we are seeing. So I am a person who serves people. I've always done that. I will continue to do that. And that's my hope and my goal on the seat is to serve and help the people that come through the court system.
Wonderful. I tell you what, then tell them how to find you on social media.
Absolutely. So it's at Mark for Judge, and it's Mark with a Q, M-A-R-Q, for Judge, spell out for. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I do TikTok. You have to go watch them. and Twitter. I'm still figuring out Twitter, so there's not much on there, but my Instagram, Facebook, and definitely TikTok. You can catch me on there. My website is markclaytonforjudge.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. We'll be looking for you in the ballot box.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Listen, y'all, that was Mark Clayton. She's running for judge over there, so check her out. Check out her social media spot. Y'all, you know, she brought up an important point. She talked about there weren't any Democrats that had held that mm-hmm. seat. Talking about party lines, should we be voting along party lines this election season? Has that worked for us in the past? I mean, we just talked about racial lines. Has party lines worked? You know, a lot of people brag I'm a Democrat. A lot of people brag I'm a Republican. Say what, Raymond? Raymond?
Never. Since I've been able to vote since I was 18, I may have signed up Democrat, but my views had always been more of an independent, because I actually take the time to read what each candidate is about, and mm-hmm. I've voted for some Republicans in the past because I believed in their platform, and some of them actually during that time, like again, by the time from I was 18 to I'll say 30, a lot of them were actually trying to do the right thing, do what they said on the platform, and actually was trying to do what was right that would not only help the community but help their entire city. So a classic example of not voting on party lines, and this is something a lot of people probably forgot. Ben Carson said himself when he was running for president, he said because the way he was belittled, because of the way he was ridiculed and embarrassed on stage, they mm-hmm. asked him, would you still be a Republican? And he said, yes. And they said, why would you do that? He said, because whenever one of us get elected, you're always going to have to look back to see who stayed on your side and you could get him a hand up. And we see where they had put him when Trump got in office. Even though he was not qualified for the position he was in, he stayed in it because he knew he could get something out of it later on, regardless of what that was.
Dang. Wow. I just think what I'm seeing, we vote them in. They say they're a Democrat. We say we're a Democrat. Or they say they're a Republican. We say we're a Republican. And then when they get in and you say, well, hey, Senator, hey, Congressman, I got a problem over here. And basically, you know, you get their staff member or you don't get called back at all, or you get the runaround, and it's, you don't see them again until it's time to vote again. And I think it's time out for that. I think most groups are smart enough to vote, like Wayman said earlier, in voting blocks. They go to the candidates and they say, this is what we need from you. And I think one thing the Black community has not done is done that. I don't think we used our vote wisely. We have not said to the candidates, we're going to vote for you, but we want this in exchange for our vote. And I don't think we've done that. So in terms of party, we're just voting because we're Democrat or we're Republican, which makes no sense. That's how we're just, in my opinion, throwing away a vote. Just to say that I'm a Democrat and you're a Democrat, and I haven't asked you what your platform is or what you're going to do for me or my community, I don't think that's a smart way to vote anymore. Pastor Chris,
well, go ahead, one guy.
No, go. I'm sorry, Wayman. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. Let's look at 2008, mm-hmm. presidential election. Barack Obama gets elected. Mm-hmm. You had the most turnout in the Black vote than you had since Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it was not the Black vote that put Obama in office.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah, mm-hmm. it was a good thing that we finally had a Black candidate and all the things, but when you looked at his platform, the people that benefited most from his platform were the people that put him in office. You look at DACA, which was on his platform. You look mm-hmm. at universal health care, which was mm-hmm. on his platform. And you look at LGBTQ civil rights. That was on his platform. Those are the people that put him in office. So you have to get past looking at what they look like and start looking at what they stand for in order for us to have a better understanding of who our candidate is. Because I can tell you this now. We have had incumbents in this city of Fort Worth that
people talk about prior to them campaigning. They talk about them while they're campaigning. They even talk about them while they're at the polls. But then you turn around, and the same people that were doing all this talking about these people were the main one voting for them.
I can't believe that. I want to pause here, y'all. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth, and I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight's topic is, what do we need in a candidate? If you'd like to join the discussion, call in tonight at 515-605-9321, then press 1. That's 515-605-9321, then press 1. If you're listening via the internet, the number is at the top of your screen. Again, too, please click that share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're talking about, what do we need in a candidate? Pastor Chris.
Yes,
ma'am. Should we be voting along party lines?
No. You know, I think you should investigate the candidate and then pick the one who you think will be best for you. But I wanted to add something else, too. As a people, you know, as minorities, I'm talking about Latinos and blacks and other minorities, you know, we always complain, oh, they're not doing that, they're not doing that. And we make complaints, but we never come with a check. If you want people to be beholden, you know, be beholden to you, then you should say, hey, we got this for you, but this is what we want you to do. In Fort Worth, for some reason, it is really not done that much, at least in the citizens, minority citizens in Tarrant County. You know, we want to make complaints, but we never come with a check. You know, and that's how things work in politics. Hey, this is our group. Here's $10,000. This is what we'd like you to do.
Let me jump in there, Pastor. That can be tricky because I've heard of a certain incumbent who's in office right now, and if you go to them like now and say, can you do this or that, I was told that they would say, have you donated to my campaign?
Well, but really, when you think about it, there are other people who are contributing to their campaign. I think we get shorted because we never come with a check. We just always got a complaint. We always got something we want done, but we never say, hey, here's $10,000 from such and such group, and this is what we'd like you to do.
Wait a minute. If we put you in office, we can't come to you and ask you for a favor?
Well, you got to think about it. You know, people are in office right now that have been voted in by the people, but who are by the candidate. The candidate's been put in office. We voted for him, but once again, who's giving them money? Who, that's what opens people's eyes. You know, you come with a complaint, I can say I'll forget you because you're not putting anything in my campaign. You're not doing anything.
Well, I'm not beholden. Let me hit you with this one, Pastor Chris. Let me hit you with this one.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Okay. Let's say we got constituents in our district, and we can go to our representative. You with me? Okay.
I'm with you.
Now, let's say we can go in there with $20,000. We got $20,000. Mm-hmm. We got this many people. We want to stand behind you. What can you do for us? And it shouldn't be what can you do for us. This is $20,000. Mm-hmm. These are the things that we need done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there needs to be a tie between that 20 grand, excuse me, and working with that representative. Because if we gave you the 20, and now we're saying, okay, we got our sleeves rolled up, we're ready to work. What do we need to do to help you get this accomplished? Because we can't put it just on their shoulders, because let's talk about it. Politics is politics. What they call it, PAC money. You know, hey, I got my stash. I'm moving on to the next thing. I ain't worried about you because you gave me 20, but somebody else gave me 45. But if we can hold them to, what can we do with this 20 we came with to get these things accomplished that we asked for? and we're willing to work with you. Tell us what, and I think this is what Bob's talking about. Tell us what we can do to work with you to get accomplished what we have asked for.
No, I don't. I think you're right, women. I'm not going to argue with that. But you see, I'm just saying most of the time, how many times have organizations come up and said, hey, here's $5,000, here's $10,000, or any money? You know, because, you know, the 7th Street Gang, you know, they put out a lot of money for candidates. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true.
They do.
It's true. So you get elected, but you haven't given me any money. So, I'm going to be beholden to the people who's funding me. And I think that's what's going on in Fort Worth. You know, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about Mr. Willoughby. I know you guys are honest and you run. But the thing is, you know, in Tarrant County, it seems like whoever has the most signs up wins.
That's the game.
Signs cost money. That's the game. That's the game, right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
I was going to say, so how can we get to a point of, because I think Bob stresses the importance of, voter education and how the city doesn't do enough to get other people engaged. And we know our vote is priceless, you know. So I don't want to sound like our vote is for sale, you know what I'm saying? But I understand what y'all saying is as far as having a political that happens in high up, you know, with the lobbyists. You know, we know they all the politicians, all the corporations are in the politicians' pockets. You know what I'm saying? So having a political pact, I do agree with that. You know what I'm saying? I do agree with that. But we also gotta also tell people, hey, just because you don't got money, if nothing else, I need you to get out there and put your vote behind this person because your vote is what's gonna get this person in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They
but
can
that
only
doesn't necessarily...
And the money, as far as we can
vote them in, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be looking out for us.
Right. That's what I was saying. We don't just vote them in, though. See, I think we had that strong political wave this past year, but people, we got to keep their feet on their necks. Just having a strong political wave, we flipped it. We got a new council. That's not enough. We got to keep these people feet held to the fire. I'm gonna share this with y'all, what I witnessed at a council meeting online just here recently. And the city voted against these people. Over in District 5, it was the business owners were like, hey, this area was set up not for business. This area, we got our businesses. This is what this area was set up for. Y'all trying to put houses in the mix of these businesses, you know, trying to mix, you know, woo, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
This one guy, I show you the power of people with money. This one guy, but the city still went against the business owner. This guy said, hey, he pulled their card. He said, hey, I'm such and such. I'm the one responsible for all this on 7th Street. I'm responsible for this. I'm responsible. He letting them know, hey, what? Who I am? He letting them know. But guess
I'm
what?
I'm funding you.
Guess what they did though? They still went against the business owners. He let them know. I brought a lot of money to Fort Worth. I brought a lot of development, but they still voted in favor of the person who's trying to get housing developed in the mix of these businesses. I said, "Whoa!" So I'm kind of like.
Can I ask you a question?
Real quick.
Just real. You're not. You're not talking about Lake Arlington, are you?
It was. It's in District 5. It's in District 5, over off of East Chase.
Okay.
Oh, and there's a lot in Stop 6, too. There's a lot of the plan in Stop 6, too, as well.
Yeah, this happened recently. It's some proposed off of East Chase, and you got some businesses that were like, no, this was, what you call it, zoned specifically for businesses. Now you're trying to rezone to...
Well, what happened was the businesses didn't give as much money as the builders did. So it's who gets the most money gets it their
there
way.
You go.
You know?
There you
That's
go.
The only problem.
There
the per business,
go.
I mean, you know, they should have took out more loans and gave Gina Bibbins maybe a new car and a new house. It would have went their way. You know? But I'll tell you something that we really, I hope I can get people to wake up, and I'm working it really hard. Council keeps taking away from us. I see people all the time on Nextdoor yelling about, oh, my bicycle got stolen or my car got vandalized, you know. And you'd love to get a hold of these crooks that did this to you. Well, these crooks downtown, we know who they are, and they just they took away 4 minutes from our public presentation, and no one thought about it, and they got away with that, so they cut us down from 4 to 6. Now they took away our right to speak at city council, and no one's, you know, and they get away with that. So it's all test how far they can get away with it. That one there, that crosses the line with me, them taking away our right to speak at city council. And like I said at the parade, at the Martin Luther King parade thing, I think if Mr. King was here, he'd be the first person down there saying put back our right to speak. So that I would love for us all to come together or start helping us spread that word and demand to get our – it's costing me $500 a month to run ads in the Fort Worth Weekly. I can't keep this up very long. I mean, I'm going – you're going to see me under a bridge. Give me money for Fort Worth Weekly ads. But I used to speak for free. Now I can't speak for free anymore.
Well, this is what's jumping off. The main thing when we're talking about looking at these candidates and what should we be looking for. How many candidates have we had in the city of Fort Worth? And I'm talking about since I've been 18. So I'm talking over the last 40 years. How many candidates have we had that have defunded programs that were actually working for the people? And listen to the word. They have defunded those programs for your political education, for your corporate education, even for your financial education, to where when we had these things in our communities, those things had been defunded, and that money has either been put into TxDOT or that money has been funneled to the police department. Now, when we start talking about taking those things back from either one of those entities, everybody's now saying, oh, well, they're against new roads. They're against this. There was a program set up to help build new roads, and that money came from the Barnett Shell and from the lottery, but somebody decided they want to put that in the TxDOT pocket. So that's on that. The other part is when we start talking about taking back the money that you've invested in a police department to make this a police state, and we're not holding the police accountable for the jobs that they aren't doing. Now, there are some, it's hard to say there are some good police out there, but it's hard to say that when you see the same bad habits by a few that others are standing by watching. So it's not so much of defunding them. It's taking back money to put it back into the hands of the people to keep the people, one, educated, to keep them updated, and then also to help keep them economically sound and safe in the areas of which they wish to do their own business.
I agree. Y'all, we're going back to the phone line, 817-609. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Okay, we can hear you now. 817-609. Hello? Hello? Did everything freeze up, y'all?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm not sure why. 817-609. For some reason, I think his phone line froze up. I think that's Mr. James calling in, but I cannot, we can't hear you. I'm not sure. Let me try that one more time. I'm going to close his phone line and open it back up again. We're going to see if that helps. 817-609, good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Sounds like he's got something going on. We'll come back to him in a little bit. So, okay, another thing, y'all, that bothers me or concerns me is we have people who have elected seats right now, and then they're running for other seats. So let's give an example, Carrie Moon. So Carrie Moon is currently City Council District 4, okay, and now he's running for state representative, I believe. Well, that said, Carrie Moon, since he's been in office, you know, has got a DUI, and with that DUI, he has not followed the guidelines of the probation, and There's a video that the Star Telegram released today on Mr. Moon. It's very interesting, some of the things that Mr. Moon said while he was under arrest. Mr. Moon told him that he was the mayor of Fort Worth, which I don't know, y'all. I've been here a long time, but I never knew Kerry Moon was the mayor of Fort Worth, but he told the police. he told Burleson police that he was the mayor of Fort Worth.
That was alcohol talking.
He told him he wanted a drink of water, and he told him to call somebody, and he told him to call some person named Billy Ordell to give him a drink of water. So obviously he was totally disoriented and did not understand he was being under arrest and you couldn't get water right then. He also was asked to take one of those blood tests, I guess, when they take your blood. He refused. Then he later, you know, was confused when they got ready to take the blood because they got a warrant. And they took his blood. And so all this was recorded. And so the thing I have with this is they said that Mr. Moon was driving up on the curb when they stopped him. So if you're a city council person, and Mr. Moon, this ain't personal if you happen to hear this day. If you're a city council person and you represent our city and your district and you get a DUI and then you fail to follow your guidelines of the probation for the DUI, is it really wise for us to vote him into another position?
No. Hey, Kerry,
I would,
to answer your question, I would say no. But my question is, what made the Fort Worth Star Telegram, you know, we're not in their mind, but what made them all of a sudden just put this out again? You know what I'm saying? Who has he...
Who has he upset?
You know what I'm saying? Because didn't the Fort Worth Police Department endorse him like they endorsed everybody else? Didn't the Fort Worth Star Telegram endorse him like they endorsed everybody else?
The Star Telegram
was so biased this last election. You know what I'm saying? This is my first time running, but I realized, hey, I'm not going nowhere. But I realized what they did. Fort Worth Star Telegram, they interviewed all of us, but they already had a fix-in. They was already knowing for who they was going, you know, who they wanted to put. So I don't even trust. I don't trust the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Why would y'all put this out again? You know what I'm saying? Who are y'all trying to get in that position? That state representative position.
If I'm cutting just the Star Telegram used to in 2015, it advertised all the candidates. I'm in 2015. They did an interview on all the candidates and let the people between then and now, they converted to where they started endorsing candidates and putting out who we suggest. The little paper owned by people out of California are telling us who to pick, but you're right about that. And the only way, and also the Star Telegram gets a couple hundred thousand a year. I checked again. This time they didn't put it on the agenda, and I pulled it up. And before I started going down there, it was $300,000. It went down to $200,000. And the only way we can stop giving money to the Star Telegram is if you got enough people to boycott them, so I can figure it out, because you have to go through legislation to get them out to change the rules to stop this, and you're not going to get them to do it to all the candidates there because they're all getting endorsed by papers, so that would be spitting in the wind, to tell you the truth. So the only way, if we had enough people to actually boycott that paper, it couldn't survive. It couldn't keep the level at $200,000 a year from the city money. It would have to fall, and that would be nice to do to save us some money that's going down the drain.
We can't get mad at Star Telegram for reporting the news. I mean,
he's running for state representative, right?
So it is news.
He's looking at the time factor of, well, remember when we did the broadcast before we talked about that runoff between Kelly and Chris?
Right.
And we said, all of a sudden, what did Star Telegram do? They brought back up an incident between a judge and Kelly being friends. And I said, they're using that as a ploy to dissuade voters from voting for Kelly. And look what we got. So that, we have our eyes closed sometimes, but we ain't blind. So that's one of them things that we have to look at of why they do it and when they do it. Now, watch this.
this is a habit of the Fort. This is just the, I would say, the character of Fort Worth City Council, of Fort Worth city officials. There was a report. A bar owner talked about David Cook and some friends of his over there at Dickie's Arena coming to her establishment. They came in there with a dog.
And I remember that. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So she's saying, hey, you can't have that animal in here. You know, was polite about it, letting them know, and everybody looking like, you don't know who this is. Man, we don't care who it is. There are rules that everybody got to follow. But see, again, that's the what was the saying? That's the Fort Worth way. We are the people that hold the keys to what you can and can't do. And if you try to enforce the rule on us, we're going to shut your business down. We're going to harass you. We're going to do this. I'll say this. Everybody that fight don't always fight clean, so watch who you pick your fights with.
Two quick observations. A real quick observation. Again, like I said, who is the four star? Because you know, think about that thing with Mr. Kerry Moon, his little the situation with him, that's gonna stick in people's minds who don't like people drinking and driving. That's gonna stick in people's minds. Oh, we can't vote him in because they know what they're doing. So who are they trying to get in that position as a state representative? And second thing, you said something.
We got to go back to the phone lines, but I'm going to say this. No, I'm just going to say this real quick, and you can finish. But DUI is serious now. And if he was driving up on the curb, then that means that he could have hurt himself or someone else as well. So that is not, you know, a behavior that we want to see coming from a council person, one of our leaders in the city. And then the fact that he failed to follow through on his probation, that's just not good character. I mean, it is what it is. So even though you might feel like the timing may be strange, but it is news.
Right. No, I just try to look at everything for what it is. You know, Wayne said something good about defunding stuff. They defunded. I recall when I grew up, we had DIRT. We had DIRT in school. DIRT, drug abuse resistant education.
Yep.
When you got rid of DIRT, think about it. If DIRT was still in place, We have less likely to have a lot of our young people out here on these drugs. Just that DIRT helped me. You know what I'm saying? Drugs were never my thing, but DIRT was in place for it. Served a purpose. It served a purpose. But you don't hear about DIRT no more.
No, you don't hear about DIRT anymore.
But it had a responsibility with the police.
Right.
Yeah, we got to go to these phone lines. Listen, if you're just listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth, I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight we're talking about what do we need in a candidate. If you would like to join the discussion, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Again, that number to call is 515-605-9321, then press 1. Okay, y'all, we're going back to Mr. James. We're going to see if he's listening or paying attention. Good evening, Mr. James.
Good afternoon. How are you tonight?
Fine. How are you?
It's been a roller coaster ride for me.
We saw you in the news today.
On which news? Well, that's the roller coaster because you had a news article about the undecisiveness of the trial, and then there was a news article on the trauma that's affecting me.
Mm-hmm. Speak on both.
Well, to use the term mind-boggling is exactly that, because I didn't know about the hearing today. I ran across it on social media, so that was a shock. And being that I'm part of the trial, so to speak, I thought they would call it, at least gave me a heads up.
Okay, can we clarify what we're speaking about, though? So Aaron Dean had a hearing today, and what was the outcome of the hearing?
Well, they haven't really had an outcome. The judge is going to consider moving the trial up to March, from what I hear, instead of May.
Mm-hmm.
But he still hadn't decided on whether he wants to change the venue or not.
Oh, wow.
So, in other words, we don't have a trial date.
Oh, wow.
We don't have a definite trial date.
And if anyone's confused on what we're talking about the Tatiana Jefferson shooting, mm-hmm. which resulted in her losing her life, and the trial coming up with the officer who shot and killed Tatiana Jefferson. So if anybody's unclear of mm-hmm. what we're speaking about. So then we also saw that you were in the news about the trauma that has caused you.
Yeah, well, it's very traumatizing because every day I wake up and every day I go outside, I relive this two years and 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's not something that you can just not think about because you look across the street. That's the first thing you think about.
Wow. So this election season, how does that affect you going to the polls?
Well, like I was listening to you earlier about how you vote someone in, and then when they get in, they don't know you or they don't do what you expect
right.
them to do. I mean, it's disingenuous of a council person or a judge or whoever's in office. I'll give you an example. When I was trying to get NSA 35 memorialized, it took me 14 months. To get nothing, and then we got a new council in, and in 2 weeks came back on to find out that the highway was already designated a memorial designation for the Purple Heart.
Mm.
Well, why nobody knew that in 14 months? I believe they knew because it would have to go to the state legislature to get it done, but they ran the clock out to where the legislature was closed.
Wow.
And then I was told I didn't know whether they would do it or not. Well, I didn't get a chance to get it to because you ran my time out.
Mm.
But in 2023, I will be lobbying the Texas legislature to have the NSA 35 renamed Tatiana 35.
Wow.
I got time.
So, of course, that makes you look at the candidates a little differently now in terms of who you give your vote to.
Well, I'm looking at the city differently now because the council is not one person.
Right.
So when you have a I'm not going to say a conglomerate, when you have a co-signer on something that's wrong, there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Gotcha.
I mean, wow. I mean, just rationally thinking, if you wasn't going to do it, don't do it. Don't string somebody along 14 months. Like you're doing something and you're not doing anything.
Hmm. Wow.
But like I said, a city of almost 1 million people, no one objected to what I was doing. Nobody came down there and said, well, you don't want to do that. We don't want to. Nobody came down there in opposition to what I was trying to do. So that was some solace on my end that people care.
And that mm-hmm. started on Betsy Price's watch.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go. I don't take up your show. But now that I know that NSA 35 is memorialized for the Purple Heart, I'm going for changing the name of the highway. The memorial of 35 will be the memorial of the Purple Heart. So our top 10 of 35 will be memorialized with the Purple Heart designation already in place.
Hmm.
So I'm not trying to change that.
Okay.
And one last thing, it's not to punish the city. It's
mm-hmm.
not to punish the police. It's not a kick or a slap in the face. It's a remembrance of a young lady who did nothing wrong, no
yeah.
criminal history, losing her life like she left how she did. She deserves to be remembered.
I agree.
Mr. James, I just want to say, hey, you got a lot of people in Fort Worth, man, that believe in what you're doing. They stand behind what you're doing. And I can tell you this, I, for one, am with you, and I know there are many others out of the Southeast Fort Worth branch that are standing with you as well as the South Side.
Okay. If you need us, just call.
I appreciate that. Well, when I call, I want to see. I mean, one thing to say, call, and when you call, you don't get, like
you
know called me earlier, and I didn't pick up.
I'll come back by there.
Well, call me three or four times. I can't remember anything, but keep calling me. I'm glad to help.
Bob, you old.
It's just I'm losing a few brain cells as we go along here, so you got to keep calling me, okay?
Oh, Bob, man. I appreciate it. I got to put your number where I can get to it on those Sundays. Sometimes I kind of be in a different zone. But I'm going to put your number where I can see it.
Thank you, Mr. James.
Okay, y'all take care.
Good night. I'm going to go to 817-378. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works.
Good evening. Good evening, panel. Good discussion. But, you know, we look for counsel, but you got to look at the people. All of us have obligatory things to do in the community if you care about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to do our part. You can't get in that council seat and think you're going to unravel 8 years of mess up from the previous candidate. It don't work that fast. Can't tell me because I had a cousin that was city councilman and some relatives that was county commissioner. It do not go that fast. It ain't going to go fast. It almost takes you 2 turns to unravel what they ever did, uncover whatever they've done. But in the meantime, you got certain situations where I feel as a ploy for certain young brothers. If you don't like what I'm saying, oh, well, so be it. And because they didn't eat out the spoon of the POA, they are letting these 2 districts fall apart on the crime side.
Yes.
But like I told them, I'm going to counterattack them. Long as they don't take that money from these people. They young, and bro, we old enough to be their parents, Comrade Wayman. Everybody on the everybody old enough to be these kids' parents. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And grandparents to their children. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first time I played football, even though I started, it wasn't necessarily what a spy I wanted to be, but I elevated myself. Wayman, you can relate to this, to where we should be. As we thought in our mind, we can't just think these young men gonna flip this that quick.
Right.
Well, my grandma always told me, before you say something about somebody, what did you do to help them? Only thing I hear is a whole bunch of bashing. I sure don't like them, nobody bashing on these young brothers. I'm tired of it. I sat down with these young brothers, was on the phone with the young brother today. These brothers need help, comrade Brown. They need help, bro. We old enough to see what's going on, and we know what's going on. Before you bash them, you got to pull them to the side because they kids to us, comrade. And everybody on this phone, they kids to us, bro. Anybody that's over 50 plus, opposed to 60, whatever, they are children to us, bro. We can't forget that part. And we still got to kind of coach and give them some form of parental guidance as they go through and develop them as we done our own kids. That's the only thing I'm saying. We know who run this town. We know who been running this town.
Well, let me say this, Malik. We're not bashing anybody. We're talking about election, period.
No,
and we're talking about we needing a candidate, period.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I understand it.
Okay.
But I'm just telling you, anybody that we put in those seats, we have to do our part to help them along. It takes a whole community to run a district the way it should be. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, we're getting that. But what we're talking about, though, is once they get there, and I mentioned this earlier, hey, we got you in, we helped you in, okay. We're the community talking to the representative. We got our sleeves rolled up. Tell us what you need us. Tell us what you need us to do. And that part of that reciprocation, we're not getting as the people. We're not being directed in where you need us. How do you want us to strategize? What point are we trying to get across? That's the thing I think is the disconnect that we're having with our city representatives is once you get there, tell us what you need from us, because the people out here, we really have a mind to work, but it's like they do have to fight off the old traditional ways of the Fort Worth way.
Correct.
Right.
But my thing is, bro, I hear what you're saying, bro. What I'm saying is I've been in conversation with these cats, and I stay in them. You know what I'm saying? Just like a hard-nosed coach, man. I don't cut them no slack.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to get it right. If I fought to get you in that seat, I'm going to hold your foot to the fire, and that's on us when we choose to do that.
Yeah.
And we got to hold them accountable. I just got off the phone with one today. We got to meet again Monday, but behind some things that we're going to get straight. But just like you say, bro, certain things that's getting granted to saying that, you know, CCPD, that's too much money for programs that need to be implemented, like you're saying, during other stuff like that. That's on us to push that agenda.
But
don't
Malika,
let them do it.
But let me say this, and we're not picking on anybody, but when we put you in office, we want to see, and I hate to say like the old saying, asses and elbows, and we don't want to see
yep.
a whole bunch of flip-flops and dance floor moves. It is what it is. I mean, because at the end of the day, this city is in crisis. This county is in crisis.
Yeah.
And we're trying to make
yeah.
the right choices when we put you in office. And if you don't, you know, do what you told us you were going to do, then we're going to flip you out of those seats the next time. Just like we flipped downtown last time, we can flip downtown again. And it's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't even, I mean, I'm not focusing on downtown specifically. I'm talking about candidates, period. If we put you in the seat and you get in the seat and you disrespect us when you get there and you don't do what you said you were going to do and all of a sudden you become big shot downtown or big shot in the county, you got to go. You got to go. That's simple. And I don't think it takes two terms to let us know that you're going to do what you said you were going to do. I don't think
you
it takes two terms.
You can't unravel that. Kira, you can't unravel nothing that quick. You lying to yourself. You lying to yourself.
Okay.
It don't work that
okay,
way.
This is one of the biggest things.
You walking in something that somebody else has already done, and you got to uncover whatever they done, the wrongs or whatever, to get the stuff right.
I'm glad you said that.
It ain't just like a stroke of a pen when it comes to that.
Oh, okay. Now, you just said they got to unravel some stuff that's been done wrong that need to be done right. Okay.
I said it's right.
All right.
And that takes time.
Think about this. When they declared
mm-hmm.
June 19th
mm-hmm.
to be LGBTQ Day in the city of Fort Worth, watch out now. Because I'm finna go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They declared,
already
knew that Juneteenth,
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
years, since I've been born, 1963,
mm-hmm.
has been declared a quote-unquote authorized holiday, but was being fought for even during that time to become a national holiday. They decided instead of acknowledging that and having people down there on the floor and passing out plaques, see, they gave Miss Oprah her flowers later. But what they did with the move with the LGBT community, they made
mm-hmm.
them, gave
mm-hmm.
them that day. And I'm thinking, well, instead of doing it in June, why not do it in July? Because
mm-hmm.
that's supposed to be a day of national independence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, if you really want to make some changes, and you're talking about we want to make this eye-opening and worldwide, Fort Worth, why didn't you make July 4th that day for them? Was July 4th any more sacred than the day
right.
of June 19th? Because July 4th, we all know, was not a day for African-Americans or Africans in America to be given
mm-hmm.
any type of independence. So they can miss me with their drama about, well, it can be done. It can be flipped. And it really says something to me when I seen we had black council members sitting on that panel, but you done voted unanimously to once again make the people that you look like second-class citizens and saying, we're going to push you back and we're going to move this agenda here forward because that's something they've always done.
Well, let me bring it home. Bob Willoughby spoke at City Council this past Tuesday about some tree planting thing where they were given $1,900 for, I don't know, 39 trees or something like that. $1,900 per tree for like 39 trees. And Bob questioned the amount of money There were three city council people that had the audacity to speak on that issue, but you take your ass down there and you tell them about police brutality, and you can't hear nobody say nothing up there. They put their hands down. They get up and walk off. They don't do a damn thing. I'll put that on record. So don't tell me about how this city council is, because it's bullshit, if we want to call it what it is, in terms of the way they respond to certain issues. So,
well,
you know,
what you're trying to tell me, ain't no city council person spoke out against police violence. Chris was on the front line. Chris was on the front line. So that's a lie. He ain't never backed up when it came to police brutality.
We're talking about now.
Chris is up under gag order. Chris is up under gag order. Chris really can't say nothing when it comes to that.
To police brutality?
Do
you support Chris? What he's doing now?
Yeah, I support Chris. Well, yeah, because he represents my goddamn community. Yeah, I do.
The only problem, he kind of disappointed me for years. He's been down there with us, which none of the others have. A lot of them have him sit on a bench, and they're in there. So I had a lot of respect for Chris because he was out there with us and going to meetings and doing stuff. But after he got elected, and the way he acts is not any way a pastor should act. I mean, when I told him I was disappointed in him, all he wants to do is press shots, and he hopped on the elevator and says, I like the press. Well, if anybody told me they disappointed me, I'd confront him right then and there. You know, I wouldn't jump on the elevator and ride off. So, no, I'm not happy. And what made me turn against every one of them, when they sit up there and vote against our right to speak at city council, there's nothing lower than any public official can do than that. That's the lowest. So right then they all – and Chris is my number one target because he has pastor in front of his name. That makes him even worse to me. I want some honest people in there. Chris won't come on our show. He won't answer questions. So anybody that won't come on and answer questions, that should be enough to tell you that we need to either change that person, their point of view, or somehow or another, or replace them. Is what I think. But that's just my opinion.
Bob, that goes back to what you said earlier, Bob. Why can't, again, I guess I had naive thinking, because my thought process was, hey, if we're going to have a city council member willing to come to our community and talk to people, you would think they would send out flyers, you know, out of the community. You know, those mailers are cheap. You know, they ain't gonna break you. So, you know, you just send a mail out to, say, Stop 6. Okay, Stop 6, your representative is going to be speaking at this particular place on these particular events. We invite you all to come out. We don't get none of that. We don't get it in Eastwood.
They only advertise the insiders, and that's it.
Exactly.
And that's surprising. When I first got involved, it did surprise me. We had Betsy Price coming to the school here. And it surprised me because I thought when her and Gina Bibbins coming to the school to speak, I thought there'd be some signs put up, you know, see your mayor here, talk to your mayor, some kind of a public, nothing, just quiet because they only advertise on that website and just their insiders, you know, and that's the way, and that's what
they had a wide open almost every potentate in the city of Fort Worth down at the Eugene McCray Center on Village Creek and Wheelbarger. You had to park on the street because the parking lot was so full. So I live right up the street and around the corner. I had heard nothing about it. I walked down there. There's Betsy Price. There's Gina Bivens. There's Roy Brooks. I mean, there's everybody and their mama that has any influence in Fort Worth about them reopening that facility, and it had already been open, but there was nothing to people that live right across the street from this place and around the corner. There was nothing given to us about what was going on in the community center in our own community.
Yeah, that's what I call the general public is left out, and that's 900,000 plus people. That's the general public that is left out. I mean, they don't know, and in the city, you know, the billboard they got up, you know, welcome to Fort Worth, the modern West. They don't tell us anything, but... Nevertheless, but yeah, that's it. We just got to get people in there that's going to share information, council members that's going to go out and hold meetings at their community centers, invite people out and put signs out and go to neighborhood associations and start getting the input from us because it's our money. and we should have a say.
Yes.
I know we got off track here about what Carrie was talking about for a member, what we want in a council member, but this goes for the two. If we change the rules, we'll have different type of people running for council. If we put campaign contribution limits on it down to 10,000, a lot of these people won't even run for the office anymore. You know, you take that away, then the people we have running, we're going to have a different type of person to look at, I believe. Now, that's just my thoughts. Anyway, I could be wrong.
I think
but
if
we got to do something
not only,
I know that.
But not only the money, Bob, but I think if you put that they have to meet with certain parts of their district, they have to meet with them in certain parts of quarters, and, it you know, make that mandatory, you'll find a whole bunch of them change their tune, too.
Or make them do the town halls for the candidates running. Make them, if they don't show up at town hall, they're off the ballot, you know, or they're not, you know, or penalize them somehow or another that makes them want to come to town hall. And one thing I like, and I've talked this about Raymond too, is that it would be nice if the candidates get a chance to ask questions. So many things I've gone through, my hands are tied, and the questions that come out, I'm like, God, I hate to depend on someone else, you know, so I'd like the candidates to at least have a two or three each to be able to ask any candidate a question. And it's just a simple question because you have some more insights that need to
be
brought out.
Hey, y'all, we're going to get back on top. We're going to get back on top.
Perry, are you still there? We'll let you back in a minute. We're busy. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll let you. Go ahead.
Let's talk about something else that I'm concerned about. Bessie Price. You know, Bessie Price is running for county judge, and we know that Bessie Price was our tax assessor from she was a tax assessor from 2001 to 2011, and from 2011 to 2021 she was the mayor. Now she's running for county judge. Do we need any one person to hold that many positions? And is it good if their track record in their previous seat wasn't that great to begin with? It's quiet around here. No, we're out here now. Oh, my God.
Well, it isn't.
I'm just saying.
Because now you're talking about you putting somebody in another position who know where all the bodies are buried and then had some help with turning the dirt.
Oh, that's scary. That's scary. That's interesting because you got to think about I didn't forget the numbers, Bob. What was the numbers? What was the deficit that she left with the city? It was
The deficit with the city is like $2.7 billion, which we had Dr. Weinsberg on, which is great. She was very
independent.
The
auditor.
Person that Carrie had on before. And $2.7 billion, I believe we're short there. And then I just got the brochure out, the counter brochure on her running from O'Hara's camp. And it's got a big old picture of her and where she gave $147 million to Facebook and all we got is 40 jobs out of it or something like that.
That's
You get that? Okay, good, good.
They circled it.
You know, yeah, so, but I'm hoping that I put signs out saying anybody but Bessie Price. And also we've had Marvin, which he's been on Carrie's show, Marvin Sutton. I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least when he's on our show, whatever, talk to him, he seemed like he had, you know, common sense. And that's what I'm looking for in a person. So
That's an interesting race because you got Tim O'Hare who speaks against, what is this called, the critical race theory. And then you got Bessie Price, who they consider the front runners. And then you got Marvin Sutton, and you got Trevor Booker. And I'm not sure who the other black candidate, he's
Brad
a Republican.
Brad Bradford, I believe his name is.
So it's an interesting race, but I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know if putting Bessie Price in this position is a smart thing. I'm just going to say, Bessie has not done right by Fort Worth. I mean,
She just picked up a new endorsement from Ted Cruz.
Oh yeah, and Deborah Peoples is in that race. And so, you know, I don't know. I think we got people in these races. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting mix-up right there. It really is, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't know that Bessie Price should be in that position.
It's kind of like NFL coaches. It's kind of like these NFL coaches.
I'm sorry.
You're getting regurgitated people who didn't do well in one job, and they jumped to another one, and they stayed there a little while, and they didn't perform well there. Your record wasn't good there. So you dropped out for a minute. Now you're coming back. Now you want to go over here and you get another job, you know, and it's SSDD. You're getting the same shit but a different date.
I kind of like to go back to what you said earlier, Carrier. Like you said, when you said, are we voting for Republicans or Democrats? Well, the problem is people aren't voting just because of Republicans and just because of Democrats. But the people that are calling themselves Republicans, a lot of them are not Republicans. And the people that call themselves Democrats are not Democrats.
Mm-mm.
They're just a bunch of crooks. And crooks will call themselves any name to get in, like Raymond was saying. You know, they just move from – they're just looking for the position to get in there to play the game. And benefit themselves. So that's our problem. We got a lot of sheep and wool clothing, you know what I mean, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And Betsy Price is in that, you know, Fitzgerald lawsuit, a lot coming down the pipe with that. So who knows why she's moving to this seat? Is it to cover up something that she messed up when she was mayor? Who knows? But I just don't know. I know one thing I have a problem with, and they really kind of roasted her on Twitter last night if y'all weren't paying attention, but it appears that she supports Planned Parenthood, and some people may agree with that, they may not agree with that. But one thing I had a problem with is that those protesters that were downtown, y'all know who was downtown leading those protests, and a lot of people felt like Betsy Price was influencing a certain group of those people down there that was protesting. But that said, she was on her Twitter account, and she said that the Black Lives Matter anti-police protesters, that's what she called them, the Black Lives Matter anti-police protesters. And then she called them Black Lives Matter extremists. And she said that they tried to defund the police, and she said she stood with the officers and increased funding for the police and provided better pay for the police, that part. So
now see, there she go.
I'm confused because she met with those protesters several times downtown. She even went down there in the middle of the day one day, her and what's the guy named Tracy Carter? Her and Tracy Carter went down. There's photos of Tracy Carter and her going down to the protesters at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon meeting with them. She also had meetings with them in City Hall. But now she's calling them extremists and anti-police protesters. Wow. So
and see, they're gonna throw Tracy up in everything that has to do with some black. Tracy don't represent the black community.
I know him.
He know me. Hell, and I tell him to his face. He when they come over to Wilbarger Park, anytime some jump off, he is not the voice and face of the black community.
Wow.
Not only that, we know that Mr. White has some something to say about Tracy Carter.
Oh, Charles White.
Oh yeah, he has a lot to say about him. So hey, you know, I don't know the man, but hey, that man's perspective.
Tracy's thing is he's been with the force a while. They know he was a community kid. They know he turned his life around, but hell, Tracy just as much of that blue wall as anybody, any other color than black.
I want to ask Bob a question if I could. Is that stance they took to strip us away from, publicly speaking at the city council, was that the mayor's doing, or was that voted on by the council as a whole?
Well, that was not. I'll tell you what it goes down the trail to. As soon as Maddie got in the office, the first thing I went down and hit her with right away, because I told her, I said, I'm too old to play games. I want to find out if you're for real or, you know, another candidate. You know, like that kind of money, I already knew what it's going to be, but I had to find out. I asked them to move our public presentation from the bottom of the agenda to the top of the agenda, because that's the way it is in Denton, Austin, White Settlement, all the surrounding, everybody but us. We were on the bottom of the agenda, and they were, you know, that's, and it doesn't take 2 minutes to do that. okay? And what they did, they wouldn't answer. And then I had it out with Crane, and he let it out that they were redoing the schedule, and that, because I mentioned that time, I had it out in Crane in a public place. Anyway, he settled down, whatever, and he apologized, all that, when we was talking, and he said he wanted to be a good council member. And I said, well, you'd be a good council member, move us from the bottom to the top. And he says, well, you know what? They are. They're reworking the whole agenda, and they're putting it in there. So I spoke again at council. Now, this is one thing council just did, and I know they didn't do it because of us asking or whatever for the last 5 years, or they'd done it then. But they did it for some selfish reason they did this, but it's good. They release our agenda now on Thursday night instead of Friday night. And I've asked that for a long time to do that, to let it out on Thursday night. And that's a good thing. And I kind of got off track when I said that. But anyway, what happens was we was asking to move up to the top. And they couldn't put us on top and let people see us talk. So they rearranged the whole schedule. So they moved us to the top, but they put us in quarantine 2 times a month with them so that we only speak to the folks that we're talking about. And they took us off the council agenda, period, and we don't speak. But now they kept their presentation on. Now, here's the key thing. They know what I'm after. They know exactly what I'm after, and they're fighting me not to get it, is I wanted our public presentation. And I said, you put your presentation at the bottom for a while and put us up top. If you put yours at the bottom, no one will be here to watch, and you can go home early, you know, and put us on the top up there. And here's what I'm – this is when you get seen. They're in zoning cases. If you're all up for zoning, this is when you got everybody tuning in that don't tune in. They don't know what's going on in this city. This is where you get all the people that don't have a clue what's going on in the city because they're putting some apartments in their backyard. So now they're tuning in the city council. And if you're on at that time, they see you. And out of all those people see you, still a lot of them don't care anything but that one problem, no matter what it is. But there's some mixed in there that will say, hey, that's not right. And that's what we want to tap in and try to find more of those people so we can get bigger to try to change things. It's going to take – we've got 900,000 people here. We have the power. We have the tools. I just don't have the know-how. You know, that's my thing. I wanted to get there so that we could try to get more people to grow. And if we get enough people to start flipping these votes around or getting real people in office that will answer questions and do the job like they're supposed to, then, you know, that's how we got – that's my point there. I wanted to get to that. I want to get us right back there on that area. And they know it, so they took us off. Now, I did send an open request to ask who to change their – I don't mean to keep going on too much, but I'm sorry about that. I take over too much. But no one would answer downtown. I did send in an open request. Almost had to sue them. I said, who changed – who you know, we got a right to know who changed our schedule. Who changed this?
Uh-huh.
And finally, after talking to the lawyers and everything, they came back and said there's no document. So no one will tell us who changed it.
We got to get back on topic tonight, y'all. Thank you. Listen, we were talking about Carrie Moon earlier. Criminal record. If a candidate has a criminal record, does that matter?
Yes. Don't it on jobs?
Well, true. But, I mean, does it matter what the crime is, though, the circumstances surrounding the crime? Is it just absolute no, or are there circumstances or case-by-case to be looked at?
I would say misdemeanor, no.
Oh.
Misdemeanor, no.
Okay. Misdemeanor, no.
I would say
that's just like if you try to get a job at a bank.
You mean felony, no. You mean felony, right?
Right. If you got a felony, depending on what that felony is.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what their felony is, because you have, you know, I know some people who got a felony case of having sex with a child, but it just so happened the guy was 18 and the girl was 17.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But they made him register. And I'm like,
Okay. That makes sense. So it's a case by case. You're not gonna throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's gonna be a case by case.
No.
What the situation was that caused them to be considered the criminal, right?
And it also depends on what their age was when the offense occurred.
Mm.
Right. I feel like this because you know a lot of people have a tendency to where they wanna if they you know doing. You know, politics is dirty. So you're running against somebody, you seem to be
on top of their head, you know, politics dirty, they'll try to dig up some dirt on you. I feel like if you're gonna put the information out there, give let's go on specifics as to why that person, you know, give that person time for rebuttal. Don't just let that person fall on their life because you say, oh, well, this person got this in their background. Okay, well, I'm like this. If you bring up anything on me, okay, since you brought it up, let's talk about it. What you want to know about it? Because I can stand on anything I've ever done in my past, and I can you know what I'm saying? So, but most people don't fight it. They say, well, you know, they put this out on me, and I'm gonna have to back. No, don't back out. Why? Tell us why. What was going on at the time? What put you in that space? You know what I'm saying? I want to know. You know what I'm saying? Give me a chance to make a decision on my own. You know what I'm saying? Because people feel certain ways about certain things. You know, everybody don't. I don't walk the same way everybody walks. I don't think the same way everybody thinks. You can't get me on emotions. You can't throw something out there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
But let me see what you said. As a candidate, do you get ahead of the story, or do you let somebody, or do you hope nobody exposes it? Do you tell on yourself? You know, or do you
I would put it, if it came down to it, it depends on what it was. Mm. If it was something like you say, basically a misdemeanor, hey, let's talk about it. This happened in my life. Guess what? I was 20 years old when that happened. Guess how old I am now. You know, I'm 30 years older than that. So that's not something that I would keep continue to do or have continued to be doing.
There was a candidate in the district.
I forgot what district it was, but it was heated over there. Somebody thought up on it and said, okay, we want to get this person out, because maybe this person was the loudest. Maybe this person making the most waves. But somebody thought up on it and said, okay, let me put this dirt out on this person. Let me put this out on that person. And that person, what they do? They backed out. Don't back out. If you stand on what you – listen, everybody – life is about decision-making.
Yep.
Why did you do that? You know what I'm saying? Stand on it. Don't because you can't get that back. You already done it. You can't get that back. No matter how somebody brought up, you can't get that back. You can't change that. Stand on it. And let the voters decide, because there's people with hearts that say, you know what? Okay, so what, you put that on that person? I'm still supporting that person because this person is going away. I feel like my heart is saying this person is the right person. You know what I'm saying? But again, like y'all say, case by case though, because if it's like violence or anything sexual, everything is. I think it's case by case. I just say that. I say it's case by case. It's case by case.
Let me ask you about temperament. And Pastor Chris, you've been quiet over there. Temperament. Let's talk about the fact. Give y'all an example. You know, who we may see on the campaign trail may not necessarily be the person we put in office. A lot of times it's two faces involved, the one they show us and who they really are. Example, remember when Betsy Price went to the church with Fitzgerald about the Jackie Craig situation? Y'all remember that?
Remember,
everybody was standing up and they were screaming to Betsy Price about how they didn't like this, about what the police were doing, and how they didn't like that, about what the police were doing. And Betsy Price, standing in a black church, told the people, "I did not come here for a bitch session." Y'all remember that?
Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just saying.
And that was the real her.
I don't think she would have done that in a white church. I don't. I thought that was totally disrespectful.
Well, she didn't have, that wouldn't have been one of the, again, that wouldn't have been one of the things that she had, because that tells you right then, her concerns were not the concerns of black people. So
why did she come?
Like, well, she came really to help keep them preachers under control. Y'all need to tell y'all people this. You want to keep getting your money, you're going to tell them what they saw ain't what they think they saw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you do anything otherwise, we're going to cut your funding.
Pastor Chris, had that happened in your church, what would you have said? Oh, it was a white church. I'm sorry. It was a white church.
I would have corrected her, but I was there that time she came. I think she was at Holy Tabernacle. And
I
then,
it was
you
a
know,
black
to
church.
Me.
It was a black church. Mm-hmm.
No. it was the one what you talk what she said about the session. I'm talking about she showed up. They had something at Holy Tabernacle, and we all sitting there waiting on her, and she was running late.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, Wayman?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yeah. Right down the street from my house. Anytime she has to do something over in the black community, Betsy Price is going to come late. She's going to stay short, and she's going to get out of there before anybody else leaves.
Really?
That is, hey, that's our track record.
See, but you know what? I don't know if she's even looking for the black vote with this judge seat. I really don't. I don't think she feels like she needs it. Yeah, she's not looking for a vote, no.
No, nah, because she's looking at the numbers saying, well, this many of them only – they only had, 20% of the people vote anyway, so I'm not even worried about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying, y'all can cast y'all vote for Betsy Price if you want, but I don't even think she's looking for the black vote. I don't even think she cares about the black vote.
Nah.
I really don't. Yeah.
Nah.
I'm just
saying. Again, I think Betsy Price for this position, like I've gone on record to say, she wants this power. It's a power play for her. She wants this position for a power play, and she going at the position for money. And I go back to when they tried to sneak that council getting a raise on the ballot, when they tried to slide that one in on us, and the voters vote shot that down. Mm-hmm. And then she went on the record, and she went on record and started telegram said something to regard of it was like she was getting paid $1 a day. Well, is it about serving? Is it about serving the people? Or is it about the money? You know what I'm saying? So they let me know what they let me know what she was about when they tried to slide that thing on the election to get them a pay raise, and then too, when she went on record when they asked about the pay, well, I think the pay was I'm getting paid $1. Well, bye, good riddance. You know what I'm saying? Good riddance. But your question, Carrie, that last question, I'm like Bob out. I had it, but I missed it.
Everybody's free now tonight. Oh my God!
No, I had it. We was on point. We was on point with it. We got to talk about Bessie though.
Wow, we were talking about temperament and the fact that
double faced it. Double faced it. Yeah. I say this: don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't have no real high expectations of them. Know that they are human. At the end of the day, remember yourself. I always say this: consider yourself. Always consider yourself. I believe in giving anybody the benefit of the doubt until you show me otherwise. You know what I'm saying? But like you say, that show me one thing and then doing another, then just let them know where the clock is ticking for you, because you haven't done XYZ, you know what I'm saying? So the clock is ticking for you. You know, the clock is ticking for you.
I think what I'm going to need to see this time, though, is some debate. Because one thing I think we don't need to know that you can articulate yourself. We don't need to know that, we don't need to know that you're articulate and you can represent the office well. We don't need to know what your platform is. We need you to come forward. You cannot just put out signs. You cannot just be on social media. We don't need to hear from you before I give you my vote this time. I mean, seriously, I'm gonna need to know that you can talk, and that you can represent us well, and that we're in agreement with your platform. I think people don't realize that we got to know who you are. We got to see you, and it just got to happen like that. Otherwise, you're probably not going to get a vote.
And Carrie, I say this, because we make time for what we want to make time for. So, no platform should be disregarded or considered any more or less than the next platform. You know, we make time for what we want to make time for. And I love what you did. I love what you did 2 weeks ago. You said, "Oh boy, trying to pull an okie doke. So you ain't got time, but you still want to try to have an interview? Oh no, sir. We're not for to play that game. No, sir. No, sir. Thank you, but no, thank you. If you're gonna make time for my platform and to come on, you don't gotta be here the whole time. But make some time. We make time for what we want to make time for. So like you said."
Let me be clear who he's talking about. That was Tim O'Hare, who's running for county judge as well. Tim O'Hare,
yes, ma'am.
Basically, You can't have her. He's the best dodgeball player in the world. I mean, every time you give him a date, he'll play it up to the date, and then he can't do it. And then, you know, he changes the time. You know, I can't do this, but I can do that. And it was a scheduling problem, you know, with my people or whatever. And then finally, I tell you what, just interview me separately from everybody else and play it back on your show. But we don't do that. And so, you know, I don't know what I think. I don't know what I think about Tim O'Hare, but I don't like that about him. Now, I don't know if he's a stand-up guy besides all of that, but that part I don't like. And I've tried to book him several times, and it's always a dance, you know, dodgeball kind of, you know, thing. It's almost as though he does not really want to do the show, but he gives you the impression that he's trying. It's just some kind of way he just always comes up short. Just FYI, Tim, it's not personal. I'm just being honest, and you know I'm telling the truth on you. So if it gets back to him, I stand it and I stand by it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and guess what? This is what I say. If somebody mad at you, guess what? They'll get over it. They'll get over it.
Exactly.
Well, hey, Bob, you remember when we did the debate with Heaven 97 with Robert Ashley, you know,
mm-hmm.
and if there was someone who wasn't there, and I think Tammy didn't get to show up, but she called in the next day, and I think it was some point she was trying to make, or I think it was a campaign platform she was trying to talk about, and Robert said, well, no, we're not going to get to do that today. Because, and what he was doing, he was saying, look, you remember that? It was like, uh-huh. Hey, all of the candidates were here, and they had a chance to answer and ask questions, and we mm-hmm. did that on yesterday, but mm-hmm. we're not going to get to do that today. You
yeah.
know, and I think that's being fair to all of the candidates that, you know, do keep those commitments. Because mm-hmm. at a certain age, we all become responsible for our time.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
it's just like a
point,
doctor's
sir.
Appointment or yeah. anything else we got to do. You just can't say, oh, well, this came up. Unless it's an illness,
mm-hmm.
unless it's a dire illness, you know, mm-hmm. you just can't say, oh, well, my people did this or my people doing that. What happens if it's a crisis that go on in your community and you have something to go up? Are you going to blame your people then, too?
Well, she is a prime example of what, you know, not being a real candidate, too, because when we did our one of our things in the district, she went downtown and did hers downtown, not even in the district. So, and she turned down coming to a debate here, but also she got a lot of money. She got $20,000. About $19,000 came from outside the district, but they put a lot of money into
mm-hmm.
her. And but she didn't know what she was doing. I mean, just there again, one of those paid candidates to fulfill the seat, and the people behind me pulling the strings, and that. But yeah. Also, I did. I don't know how thick-skinned Mr. Moon is. I don't know if this was bad taste or not. Y'all were talking about Mr. Moon a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You get a chance to go over. Look on my Facebook page. My artist did another drawing. My co-host, they designed this. I'm putting it on there. The problem is this one's got mixed feelings for me because. When I got involved, none of those candidates down there, none of our council members were worth a dime. And Mr. Moon and Ann came in, and those two showed a little bit of a flickering of a council, okay? And I'm like one of those
mm-hmm.
dogs that's happy against anybody that's going to show me anything, you know? So, and I really like Mr. Moon, and he also brought up some things that got shot down. But Ann, but then they both, I guess they changed. Ann started changing, and Moon's changed. So, but to me, I had, you know, by putting this out, I feel kind of bad because he is a person, but you get a chance to look at the picture on my Facebook. I went ahead and sent it to you, Carrie, and I think I did you too, Raymond. I think I sent it to you, but anybody else wants to see it, it's on my Facebook. You're all on my Facebook there. You can take a look at the drawing. The girl does great artwork. And then you'll see our ad will be coming out in a weekly
I'm
here.
I'm going to keep Bob
present.
On topic.
But yeah, I'm a well top, and I only got 4 brain cells, and they just kind of bounce around, and that's all. I'm sorry. Each one has a different topic.
You can't
topic
Ronald Reagan.
I'm on smack, Bob. I really am. Listen, y'all, we're going to cover a few more. We're going to get out of here. We need honesty and we need integrity in these offices. We really do. We need to know that you're honest. We need to know that you're not just running for the campaign money, that it's not about that you're really in the race to win. We need to know that you got some service to the community. We need to know that you do some work out in the community, that you're a public servant, before you run in any race. We need to know that. What kind of track record do you have? Basically, what does your resume show in terms of you getting things done? Because when we put people in office, we need to know that these people are people that can follow through. Do y'all agree with those so far? Am I on point?
Yeah.
And so, and your reputation is kind of important. You know, we're not just going to go by what you say. We want to know what other people think about you. And not that everybody's going to always tell the truth on you, but I think discernment is going to sort out, you know, the truth in the end. Somebody's got some noise in their background and it's kind of distracting. Who is that? Okay, somebody's got some noise. And so I think we need to have people that are stellar. We really want to know that you're upright and that we can count on you to do the job when we put you in office. And so when we go to the poll this time, we're not just looking at, you know, what party you're with. We're not just looking at, you know, what color you are. We're not looking at any of that. We're more concerned about can you do what you say that you're going to do. And we don't want these career politicians in office who are just running from office to office, but we want people who are getting in positions because they want the job, not people who just want a job. Because we're seeing some politicians who are running for multiple offices. It's just like stepladders, you know, and I think I really want a person who's running for an office who wants the office, not just to be a politician. That part. So those are just some of the things. And another thing I'm concerned about, y'all, and y'all tell me if I'm right or wrong on this one, is your financial status important? Is someone who, let's just say, give an example, and this is not anybody specifically, but it's just an example. If someone has had serious financial problems, let's just say maybe bankruptcies, foreclosures, things like that. Is that person questionable in terms of someone who could be easily bought? Does that factor in, or is that not something that could be factored in?
I would go on the record and say yes. And the reason I say that, because when I did time, the military, I did time in the military. In the military, they won't even give you certain people get security clearances, but when they do a background, basically, I think it came up like this. I got a security clearance for something. It was some minimum, but anyway, they want to know that if you get captured, if you got a background with financial issues or whatever, if you get captured, or you just, I think it's, if you get captured, are you the type of person that'll sell out? Sell out for some money, mm-hmm. you know. So mm-hmm. I would say, with that being said, Carrie, yes, I would say so, because it says something about it just says a lot, you know. We know politics is dirty, and we know people are getting stuff under the table. We know people, even local politics. We know people are getting stuff under the table. Look what happened mm-hmm. in Dallas. Look what mm-hmm. happened in Dallas to all those council members. I'm sorry, y'all. Mm-hmm. It's not in my heart to be crooked or dirty or nothing. That's not me. But if I was gonna be that way, I wouldn't do it for no $10,000. You're gonna have to come with more than $10,000. If you're gonna have to come with more than $10,000. I'm not for the sell out for no $10,000 for you to live off the hog. So yes, I would say that, Carrie, yes. The financial, if you got some, your financial background is kinda in a disarray, yes.
But see, you got to think about most jobs today. They want to check your background. They want to pull your credit. But when we elect these people to these elected positions, we don't do a background check. We don't pull your credit. We don't know what your, you know, financial situation is. And so it really kind of leaves us sometimes probably in a bad place, because if these people are hurting for money, then they're more likely, I would think, to possibly be someone who could take a bribe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Chris, you agree?
Right. Pardon me?
You agree?
Yes. And especially in Fort Worth, where, you know, I just know there's a lot of money being passed around.
Ooh.
We all know that. You know, so if, you know, if you need money, you know, that's the place. If you can get it, if you can get in the office, you look like your financial problems are over.
Wow.
And you know, they don't have to do they don't have to give it to you directly. You can have something. You can have some type of entity set up that's not even in your name or somebody else. People know how to funnel. Hey, they know how to funnel money. They want to get some money to you. They know how to get some money. They'll get the money to you. They'll make sure you get it to where it won't come up on the radar that you getting, you know, you getting bought off.
I'm starting to believe that a lot of the politicians here are people who were in trouble in some kind of way, financial trouble, or they had some type of thing in their past that people could use against them if they ever needed them to sway a vote their way, if that makes sense. So I know you got a criminal record, or I know you're in financial trouble. I know you're in foreclosure. So we get you in, and so whenever we need you to be that other vote, then we just remind you of this or that, or we give you some extra money, and then you're more likely to vote like we need you to vote or do what we need you to do.
I agree. Or don't vote at all. You know, the no vote is the same thing as not vote. You know, you got some council members or some elected officials, they won't vote at all. So it's like it gives out the illusion that they weren't for or against it. You know what I'm saying? They were just they couldn't make their mind up. No, buddy. No, no. We didn't elect you for you just to sit on your vote. We need to know how you voted. It's either gonna be yay or nay. It ain't no down the middle when we playing politics, baby. You in the seat, you in this position for a reason. It is gonna be yay or nay. That's one thing I don't like about the city council. The city council, they all vote one way. Even if you get opposition to something, it could be one person. To me, as a council, if I get one person that's against something, if it's just one person, that one person is just like a million people to me. So I would say, hey, let's do a continuance. I think we need to do another continuance. We got time. It's not like it's hurting the agenda. Yeah, you know what? No, I want to get this we got this one person. We just got one person. Okay, well, that one person don't matter. So we're just gonna go. We're gonna go with the person who making the most noise. No, let's do a continuance. I want to continue this, and we're gonna get some more people. See, we're gonna see. You know, stop giving away things. Fort Worth gives away stuff too easily. You know.
Oh, y'all, listen. For some reason, the sound has went off, y'all. So we have really pissed some people off. That's when you know Mr. James just inboxed me and told me the sound went off. So this is just going to be for those people who are still listening on the phone, because that means on the internet they have cut us off. Early voting, y'all, begins February 14th, and it ends February 25th, and election day is March 1st. Y'all, listen, I want to thank my panel for coming tonight, Wayman Brown, Pastor Chris, Adrian Smith, and Bob Willoughby. Y'all, listen, we really piss some people off when they cut you down. I'm sorry, that's funny to me, y'all. That should not be funny, but it is. Thank you, the audience, for listening tonight. If you would like us to do a show, you have a show idea, contact us at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Again, if you have a show idea and you'd like us to do it, contact us at aol.com. Listen, if you want to donate to the show, if you want to advertise with the show, contact me at the same email. Okay, y'all, listen, this is going to do it for tonight. I guess we have really pissed some people off, so it is what it is. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.